The splashed muck on the beach still burned, giving them a clear view of the black sand. Vika stepped onto the beach and watched the lizard fish crawl from the water, and Tenny waving.
Why don't you use your magic on them?
All power comes with a price. I see no reason to waste my magic on such low creatures as these lizard fish, not when there is a simple alternative. We'll go together. They're afraid of the lanterns. Hook the handle over your spear and wave it behind us. I'll do the same with my staff to clear a path as we go. Once we reach the tunnel, they won't follow us.
At least, she hoped they wouldn't. They hadn't followed Jig and the others into the tunnel. Holding the lantern in front of her, she began walking. Slash didn't move.
This is your plan?
Vika scowled and hurried back onto the rock. She fished the path of the hero out of her cloak.
What's that?
My spell book.
Vika would have used the real spell book, but the path of the hero looked much more impressive. Plus, it had better pictures. She thrust the book at him, keeping one finger on the illustration of an elf fighting what looked like a cross between a dragon and a dung heap.
And this is what I'm going to transform you into if you don't help me.
Vika slapped the book shut, nearly catching the tip of his nose. Without giving him time to think about her threat, she strode to the edge of the beach.
Well...
To her amazement, Slash hurried to join her.
I'm coming.
Good.
This time, Slash followed close behind as she set out across the beach. As before, the lizard fish hurried out of the water, but stopped a short distance beyond the lanterns. Several tried to scurry around to attack from behind. Slash swung his lantern back and forth, splashing drops of burning muck. One splashed a lizard fish's tail. It raced back into the water. The still-burning flame was a blue glow disappearing into the depths of the lake.
How did they know they could make that noise?
Slash shook his spear, trying to splash more lizard fish.
Look at that. They run like scared goblins.
Vika glared, but said nothing. Slash shook his lantern again. The butt of his spear jabbed Vika in the side, making her stumble. Her lantern dropped into the sand.
No!
Oops.
Vika tried to get her staff through the handle, but the handle had fallen on its side. Already the remaining muck oozed out through the broken panels of glass. By the time she got it upright, only a tiny bit of muck remained, emitting a feeble green flame. The lizard fish closed in around her. She smashed the lantern onto the nearest, then glanced back at the tunnel. The lizard fish had closed in behind them, cutting her off. The edge of the lake was only a few paces away.
Run!
What's that?
Vika used her staff to fling the broken lantern forward, causing several lizard fish to dodge out of the way. Splash sprayed a few more as he spun and ran after her. Vika was concentrating so hard on running, she nearly missed the tunnel. Only when her feet touched solid rock did she realize they had made it. She turned around. Outside, the lizard fish waited, climbing atop one another in their eagerness, but never leaving the security of the sand. Behind her, Slash was removing his lantern from the spear. He raised it high, examining the inside of the tunnel. The rock was smooth and polished, far brighter than the grimy obsidian of the goblin tunnels. The tunnel was too cramped, so Vika had to hold her staff parallel to the wall to keep from banging it.
Come on!
She found herself hunching as she walked and forced herself to lift her chin and straighten her spine. She kept walking. The tunnel sloped downward, following the bottom of the lake bed deeper and deeper. The end of the tunnel was a black hole in the dark, glistening stone of the floor. A ladder made of the same magically shaped obsidian led down from the far edge.
Give me the lantern!
Moving the blue flame over the hole, Vika dropped her staff into the room below. Vika climbed down the ladder into the throne room of the legendary necromancer. The walls and floor were black marble, thick with dust. She could see footprints where Jig and the others had come down. A glass mosaic covered the ceiling, reminding her a bit of the one in Jig's temple, though the images here were abstract and meaningless. Behind her, Slash climbed down the ladder. Vika picked up her staff and thrust the lantern back into Slash's hand. Another pit on the opposite side of the room led down to the dragon's realm. Like the lake tunnel, this was a magical shortcut left by that same band of adventurers. They had used magic to carve their own path through the mountain, including the stone ladder on the far side of the pit. Vika squinted, and moved closer to the edge.
Cover the lantern!
The blue light diminished, and gradually Vika's vision adapted enough to see the faint silver light shimmering below. The ladder should have extended all the way to the ground below, but the rungs rippled and shimmered, and the bottom half didn't seem to exist at all.
What is that?
I don't know. Whatever the ogres were afraid of, it's...
The ogres were afraid?
The ogres have been hunted down and wiped out. There are only a handful left. That's why this one came to us for help.
And you want to go down there?
We should move quickly. I don't know what's happening to the ladder, but I don't trust...
That was as far as she got. Slash's foot slammed into her backside, launching her head first into the pit. Snow and ice cushioned Vika's fall, but the impact still knocked the wind out of her. She rolled over, spotting her staff a short distance away. She crawled over and used it to prop herself up. From atop the ladder, Slash grinned down at her.
Where's all your fancy magic now, wizard? I bet you can't cast your spells on a target you can't see.
He disappeared, no doubt heading back up to the lake tunnel.
And how exactly are you planning to get past the lizard fish alone, you ugly mound of dragon droppings?
Slash appeared soon after, looking less cocky than before.
About that.
That was as far as he got. Vika drew back her arm and threw her staff like a spear. It caught Slash right in the stomach. He doubled over, clutching his gut. His spear fell, and his eyes widened. In a slow, graceful dive, Slash somersaulted down. He landed flat on his back, almost in the exact same spot where Vika had fallen. She picked up her staff. Large as she was, Slash was even bigger, and he had landed far harder than Vika. She nudged him with her toe.
Get up! Quickly, before we're discovered.
Discovered by what?
Vika pressed her toe to Slash's head, turning it to one side.
Those things for a start.
Twin streaks of fire raced over the trees in the distance. Given the subdued coloration of everything from the sky to the rash on Slash's face, which looked like old rust, the brilliance of the two flames was even more startling. The nearer of the two was bright green. The other was a deep red. They swooped back and forth, their paths crossing again and again.
They look like they're searching for something.
Jig and the others. She wondered if they were in trouble. The two flames appeared to be coming from the direction of Straum's cave.
What are they?
They're dangerous.
Slash reached for his spear. Vika yanked it back out of reach.
You're lucky I don't kill you for pushing me through that pit. If I weren't in the midst of a quest...
Slash leaped forward, seized the spear just behind the head and yanked. Vika stumbled, but she didn't let go. She tugged back, putting all of her considerable weight into it. With a wicked grin, the hobgoblin released the spear. For the second time, Vika landed in the snow. Slash pounced, grabbing the spear with both hands and twisting. He nearly snapped Vika's wrist as he wrenched it from her grasp. Before she could recover, he smashed the butt into her forehead.
Some wizard.
Slash looked at the ladder. The closest rungs were little more than shadows. Even with his spear stretching as high as he could reach, the tip barely scraped against the lowest solid rung.
We should get out of this clearing. We need to find Jig Dragonslayer.
Why?
Unlike a certain oversized goblin braggart, Jig wouldn't have been stupid enough to come down here without a plan for getting out. If nothing else, that ogre he had might be big enough to hoist us up to the ladder. Unless you want to try your magic.
Slash didn't wait for an answer. Vika bit back a squawk as he grabbed her by the ear and yanked her toward the trees. He released her after a few steps, apparently trusting her to keep up. Vika's books thumped against her stomach as she ran, painful reminders of how far she had to go to truly follow the hero's path. They found Wallen's body sprawled upside down against half a broken tree. Another of the flaming lights, a yellow one this time, had already discovered it. Vika and Slash crouched behind a cluster of pine trees. The brown needles were encased in so much ice and snow it was nearly impossible to see beyond them.
So much for your idea.
Maybe if we'd dragged him back and used him like a stool?
Shadows twitched back and forth as the yellow light behind the body moved, almost as though it were pacing. Vika flattened herself to the ground. There were fewer branches down here, but now the snow began to chill her whole body. She gritted her teeth and remained, her ears wide as she listened to the high-pitched mumbling coming from the light.
No life left in this one. Is it really so difficult to subdue an enemy without smashing them to a pulp?
The light brightened abruptly, shooting sparks in all directions as it leaped up to land on Wallen's shoulder. This was it. Vika's first real view of her enemy, her nemesis, the foe she would battle as she traveled the path of the hero.
The ogres were beaten by a bunch of pixies.
Standing atop the ogre was a small man with wings. If he stood on the ground, the top of his head wouldn't even reach her knees. He had two sets of wings, like an insect, and the yellow sparks seemed to come mostly from the lower set. The wings had an oily shimmer around the edges. Otherwise, they were clear as glass, save for faint yellow lines that spread through them like veins on a leaf. Black cloth crossed around his chest, cinched into a knot at his waist. His black trousers were decorated with red beads that took on an orange shine when they caught the light from his wings. The pixie gave Walland one swift kick, then flew into the air.
Where have your friends run off to, ogre?
Vika jumped, but it wasn't Walland. The sound came from an enormous dog that sniffed the air as it approached the dead ogre. It walked with a limp, and one of its rear legs was matted, probably with old blood. Gaps in its fur showed older scars, mostly near the throat. It bared its teeth at the pixie. The pixie barely hesitated, glancing back only long enough to swing one hand in a lazy gesture. The dog took a few more steps, snapping at the sparks falling from the pixie's wings. As the pixie flew through the branches and disappeared, the dog sat and began to gnaw at its rear paws.
What happened?
Slash's jaw tightened, but he said nothing. The dog attacked its own legs with even greater ferocity. The pixie didn't appear to be coming back, so Vika crawled out from behind the tree.
Hey, that dog will rip you apart.
Vika was more curious than afraid. What had the pixie done? She was almost at Wallen's body when she saw. The roots of the nearby trees had coiled around the dog's paws, anchoring it to the ground. Smooth black bark crept up its legs. Blood and splinters sprayed from its panicked jaws, but the pixie's magic was too strong. No matter how the dog struggled, the bark continued to spread. It had reached its hips by the time Slash joined her. Foam dripped from the dog's mouth as it panicked. Slash reached for the dog. He nearly lost his fingers.
Oh, that's no way to die. Can you stop this?
Vika shook her head, too fascinated to lie. Slash grabbed the end of his weapon. He swung it like an oversized club against the dog's neck. The dog dropped. Slash nudged Wallen's body with his toe.
Oh, stupid pixies. The dog was just looking for a meal.
How did it get down here? I've never seen a dog like that before.
It probably came with a group of adventurers.
Slash pointed to a worn scrap of leather buckled around the dog's neck. A few rusted spikes protruded from the collar, though most had torn away over time.
They bring their animals along on their little quests, get themselves killed, and their pet either winds up in some other creature's belly, or they go feral, like this poor thing.
Vika turned her attention back to the dog. By now, the tree had nearly consumed the body. Only the wrinkled face and one ear still showed, and soon those two disappeared. Tiny branches began to sprout from the dog-shaped stump. The pixie had done this with nothing more than a wave of his hand. No wonder the ogres were so desperate for help.
What now?
Wallen said they had taken over Straum's lair. We'll sneak into the lair and discover their secrets. That should give us the key to destroying them.
There's something very wrong with you, even for a goblin.
Come on!
Vika started to walk in the general direction of Straum's cave. Slash decided to follow. By the time they reached the edge of the woods, Vika was hungry and cold. Her only consolation was that Slash had been equally abused.
Strom's lair is there. The edge of the cavern.
You think I don't know that?
A wide clearing separated them from the edge of the cavern. In Straum's time, the dragon had kept that stretch empty, so nobody would be able to sneak into his lair without being seen. Over the past year, shrubs and saplings had begun to pop up, though none were tall enough to use as proper cover. Vika leaned on her staff as she studied the entrance to Straum's lair. The horizontal crack was like a dark mouth in the cliff curving up before them. Vines hung over the entrance like unwashed hair. The ground closest to the cliff was overrun with dying wildflowers. A knotted rope hung down the cliff, courtesy of some earlier traveler. Even from here, Vika could see it was frayed and useless. She saw no sign of any guards. The pixies should be easy to spot. The one by Walland had lit up most brightly when he used his wings, but even when resting, he gave off as much light as a good lantern. If there was a pixie anywhere near that cave, Vika would see.
Stay with me.
Vika stepped into the clearing. Slash's fingers snagged her cloak and yanked her back.
Oh!
She fell, banging her shoulder on a tree.
What are you doing?
Keep your voice down, idiot. If you're so eager to get yourself killed, at least let me do it. Any hobgoblin child would know better than to go out there.
It's not even guarded.
Exactly.
Then Vika spotted it. The body of a small rabbit, half buried in the snow. In the dying light, she had mistaken it for a bit of wood or dirt. She couldn't see any blood, so it hadn't been killed by predators. From the amount of snow on the rabbit, it had been dead a while. Someone could have killed it with a rock, she supposed. A number of goblins were quite good with rocks. But why would they leave the corpse? No, this had to be a trap of some sort. Judging from the angle of the body, the rabbit had been coming from her left. It had died a bit short of the cave. The trap must cover the area in front of Straum's lair. Using the rabbit as a marker to judge the distance, that meant it probably extended right up to the edge of the woods. A few steps and she would have triggered it. That only made her angrier at Slash. A hero shouldn't need her sidekick to save her. She knelt, determined to figure this out for herself. Slash leaned against a tree with his arms folded, amusement plain on his face. The land looked no different. Ice encased the grass and shrubs poking up from the snow. The grass was a bit taller here, maybe. And there were holes in the snow where the ice protruded, almost as if the grass had melted the new fallen snow around it. But if that was the case, why hadn't the ice melted as well? She pushed a staff forward, breaking bits of ice and snow. She glanced at Slash for some clue whether this was a good idea, but he only smirked. Her face burning, she jabbed the staff farther. The ice didn't break. She tried again. A bit of snow fell away, but the ice was solid as rock. It seemed to pulse with a dim red light. Another jab confirmed it.
There's something inside the ice.
The taller shards of ice were literal spikes. She could see it now, how they came to a sharper tip than the rest of the grass. They had to be magical, probably strong enough to pierce the leather soles of her boots, as well as her feet. She crawled forward, using her staff to test and break the ice until she reached the closest of the spikes. With one finger, she brushed the snow away. The base was as thick as her thumb and appeared to extend a little way into the dirt. The ice was perfectly smooth, so clear she could see something coiled at the base. She gave it a quick tap. The ice flashed red as a thin tendril uncoiled, shooting up to the very tip of the spike.
Looks like the rabbit managed to hit two of them. I'm guessing whatever's inside is poisonous. Their prey dies on top of their little trap, and they get enough food to last for weeks.
So, how do we get past them?
If it were me, I'd toss a bunch of goblins out there. Their spikes would hold them in place, and all I'd have to do is stroll along the goblin path.
What Vika needed was the ability to fly like the pixies. If only she could make her levitation spell work. She pulled out her spellbook and opened it to the spell. The covers were cold on her hands where the copper was exposed through the peeling leather. The darkening sky made it almost impossible to read, even if she hadn't accidentally burned the page, but it didn't matter. She had long ago memorized every word on the page. She knew the spell. Her fingers twisted through the binding charm, and she closed her eyes as she finished the spell, wrapping tendrils of magic around herself and her companion and hoisting them both from the ground. Nothing happened. She couldn't even complete the binding spell.
Go on, keep waving your hands like a mad woman. Maybe the little ice creatures will get all scared and run away.
Oh!
Vika slammed the book shut. The book... She stared at it for a long time. Perhaps the answer she needed was within her spellbook after all. Planting the butt of her staff on the ground in front of her, Vika took another step. Already she was halfway across the clearing. Strips of black cloth bound the copper covers of her spellbook to her feet. The ragged edge of her robe flapped behind her as she took another step. Red lights flashed beneath her feet. Elation at her success helped to ease the pain of ripping the covers from her spellbook. Most of the binding had torn in the process, and already the pages were separating. She had ripped an extra strip from her robe and used it to tie the pages together for now. She had hoped she would be able to repair the covers, but one look at the stiff, torn leather told her it was probably pointless.
You look like a fool.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Vika took another step. Oh. The ice gave way beneath her, but she clung to her staff to keep from falling and managed to keep her balance. She had reached the cliff, and the patch of ground here appeared to be natural. She was safe. Vika slipped the copper plates from her feet and sent them spinning through the air towards Slash, then turned back to the cliff. By stretching, she could just reach the old rope hanging down from the cave. A quick tug snapped it. Dirt sprinkled her face as the rope fell. She tossed the rope aside. Slash hopped down from the field of spikes and walked over to test the vines dangling down over the cave. One tore loose in his hand and he tossed it aside.
Kneel.
What?
Unless you have a better way to get up there.
You should kneel. I'll climb up and...
Break my spine. I'm taller, stronger, and lighter. If you're serious about getting up there, this is the only way it's going to happen.
Slash tossed the covers of her spellbook on the ground. He studied the cave entrance carefully.
You really think we'll find something in there to help us?
Do you have a better idea?
Vika picked up her battered covers. The leather covering had torn completely loose on one, flapping from one corner and revealing dented, tarnished copper. The other wasn't in much better shape. She stuffed them both into her pocket with her spellbook and dropped to one knee. Slash leaned his spear against the rock and put one foot on her outstretched thigh. Keeping his hands pressed to the rock, he placed his other foot on her shoulder and jumped. Vika fell flat into the snow and mud, but Slash had managed to grab the edge of the cave. He pulled himself up.
Pass me my spear.
Vika wiped mud from her face and grabbed his spear.
You did that on purpose.
Course I did. Now give me my spear.
Only the fact that Vika needed Slash's help to get to the cave stopped her from throwing it. She handed the weapon to him, and he wrapped both hands around the end beneath the spearhead. Vika passed her staff up, then grabbed the other end of the spear. Her feet scraped against the rock as she searched for traction. The vines tickled her wrists as she struggled to climb, digging her boots into every crack and irregularity she could find. After what seemed like an eternity, her fingers found the edge of the cave. Slash grabbed her other wrist, bracing her. She tried to swing one foot up to the ledge, but she couldn't stretch high enough. She tried again. On her third attempt, Slash reached down to grab her ankle with his other hand. She half climbed, half rolled her body up into the cave and lay there.
That was pitiful, even for a goblin.
Ignoring Slash's mocking grin, Vika grabbed her staff and set off down the tunnel. The dim light from outside soon faded to total blackness. Normally, the dark didn't bother her. She had lived her life in the goblin tunnels and moved around comfortably by sound, smell, and touch alone. But she found herself wishing they could risk lighting a lantern. She kept to the left of the tunnel, one hand following the rough stone. Her staff she kept extended in front of her. The journey through darkness. Could she have reached the descent so soon? According to Joska, the hero first endured the trials, a series of tests through which she would prove her worth and gain the power she needed to triumph. The descent was the fifth chapter, in which the hero explored the darkness and prepared for the final confrontation. Her toe hit something hard, and she fell. She landed on what felt like a metal boulder.
What was that?
Vika's hands explored smooth, cold metal until it gave way to dry flesh.
A body. An ogre from the size of it.
Vika frowned. The skin felt crunchy and was almost as cold as the armor. The ogre had been dead for some time. The armor had a few dents and dings, but it was still intact. She couldn't find any holes or wounds in the ogre's exposed flesh either.
How did it die?
Ow!
Vika sliced her fingers on the sword still clutched in the ogre's hand. She shoved her bleeding fingers into her mouth.
How should I know? Maybe he killed himself so he wouldn't have to listen to stupid questions.
Vika found a second sword in his other hand. Several knives were strapped to his belt and thigh.
He's got enough weapons to fight half the creatures in this mountain.
Probably looted them from Strom's lair.
Among the dragon's other eccentricities, Straum had been a bit of a collector, saving trophies from the various failed heroes who tried to slay him over the years. Weapons of all conceivable design had lined his walls, along with the armor, lanterns, jewelry, even the chamber pots of the men and women he had slain. Most of those valuables had disappeared soon after Straum's death. Centuries' worth of weapons were looted in mere days as ogres, goblins, and hobgoblins poured into the cavern. This new influx of weaponry caused a brief escalation of conflicts, decreasing the goblin population by about a quarter. Vika wasn't sure how many hobgoblins had died. Not enough, at any rate. In many cases, it was the looters themselves who died, learning too late that a sword that had done nothing but gather dust for centuries tended to break at the most inopportune times. Slash crouched on the other side of the body.
Feels like he was burned.
Before Vika could begin to guess what might have killed the ogre, she realized she could just make out the shape of Slash moving around. In the distance, a dim green aura filled the tunnel. She tapped Slash with her staff to get his attention, then pointed to the light.
We must be getting close.
No, that's coming to us. I only hear one. If we're fast enough, we should be able to kill it before it can use its magic.
The light brightened as the pixie neared. The tunnel curved a bit up ahead. Soon the pixie would come into sight.
Get ready.
Slash stared at her hand. Even in this dim light, she could see that his face had gone pale. She glanced down. Blood from her cut fingers had run down her arm and begun to dry. She flexed her hand, grimacing at the sting of sliced skin.
Oh, you're bleeding.
Slash turned away. He appeared to be swaying.
What is it?
Vika blinked. Hundreds of hobgoblin warriors, and she wound up with the one who was afraid of blood. She couldn't wait for him to wake up so she could taunt him. But first, she raised her staff and strode toward the oncoming light. From the sound of it, the pixie had picked up speed. It had probably heard Slash drop his spear. Time to show these oversized bugs what a hero could do. By the time Jig and the others made their way back to the clearing, the sky was dark. The land, on the other hand, still gave off enough light to keep them from walking into the trees. The light appeared to be trapped within the ice and snow, which had grown steadily deeper in the time they had been searching. The snow came to their ankles now, and beneath it the ice was thick enough to support their weight. Braff had fallen 3 times already. Jig started across the clearing, refusing to accept what he saw.
Well, this is the right place. The ladder should be here. Well, if the ladder is gone, how do we get back?
Jig didn't have the slightest idea. They were still looking to him for answers, as if he were supposed to conjure another ladder out of thin air. Jig squinted at the sky, pretending to search for the ladder as he stepped away from the others.
Oh, maybe we could ask those ogres.
Jig tensed, one hand going for his sword before he spotted the ogres in question. They were marching through the trees on the far side of the clearing. Jig counted 6, maybe 7. He had trouble distinguishing the shapes, even with the lantern the lead ogre carried.
Don't ogres usually use torches? I thought wood burned orange, not pink.
The pink light coming from the lantern popped and sparked as the ogres made their way through the woods.
Well, they might be using muck. Hobgoblins changed the recipe a bit to get those blue flames.
Where are they going?
We should ambush them. We can torture them until they show us the way out. There are 3 of us, and we have the element of surprise. Ow! Thanks.
Walland had acted nervous from the moment they arrived, glancing around and jumping at the slightest sound like, well, like a goblin. These ogres could not have cared less who saw them, which meant they were probably controlled, the same as Sashi had been. Hopefully, that meant they shared her lack of alertness as well.
We'll follow them.
Why?
Because I don't know what else to do.
Ugh.
We can cut around the clearing. That light carries pretty far in the dark, so we should be able to keep them in sight. Huh?
A noise in the woods made Jig jump. He turned, orienting his good ear toward the darkness as he peered into the trees. Another sound, like a footstep. Braff was already looking for a place to hide, while Grell hobbled after him. The tightness in Jig's stomach grew as he realized he was probably the most capable warrior in the group. He drew his sword and pressed his back to the nearest tree. Smudge was still safe in his pouch. If he could have, Jig would have crawled in after him.
Jig?
Vika?
Vika crept out of the darkness, her cloak dragging through the snow. A hobgoblin trailed along behind her.
Well met, Jig Dragon Slayer.
Huh?
A good thing I changed my mind about helping you. Beating those pixies is a job for a hero.
Pixies. Jig had encountered only one in his adventures. The necromancer had been one of the fairy folk, a little blue-haired man with a nasty sense of humor. It was cosmically unfair that anything so small could be so frightening. The tiny, dark wizard had nearly turned Jig and his companions into animated corpses. Pure luck had kept Jig alive.
How many pixies?
A lot. They're holed up in Straum's lair. I killed one, and then we fell back to plan our next attack.
Grell limped toward them.
These things enslaved the ogres, but you and your hobgoblin pet killed one and got away.
The hobgoblin pointed his spear toward her. Grell smacked his hand with her cane.
Ah, oh.
His spear dropped into the snow.
We were sneaking through the tunnel toward the lair. Slash here was... He was distracted. I picked up my staff and waited as the pixie came closer, closer. Suddenly, he spotted me. His eyes widened with surprise. Surprise and a little fear. He tried to cast a spell on us, but I was too fast. I leapt out and hit him with my staff, sending him flying into the far wall. He was stunned, but not out. He tried again, and the air tingled with the power of his evil magic. Another moment, and we would have been done for.
Did you win?
Just as his hands began to burn with magic, I reached him, crushing his skull with my staff.
Vika showed them the end of the staff, then frowned.
Huh. I guess the snow washed the pixie blood away.
So, you beat this all-powerful pixie by hitting him with a stick?
That sounds like fun.
How did you find us?
We didn't.
Vika pointed to the ogres.
We were following that pink pixie.
That's a pixie?
A lazy one. She was making the ogres carry her so she wouldn't have to fly.
Vika walked to the edge of the clearing, ignoring the others as if she had nothing to fear, and making Jig wonder what had really happened. Smudge was squirming out of his belt pouch. Jig loosened the ties enough for Smudge to scurry up to his leather shoulder pad. The fire spider turned this way and that, trying to keep an eye on Vika and the hobgoblin both.
Well, our way lies with those ogres, and I, for one, will not shirk away from the call of destiny.
Vika began walking after the ogres. Jig glanced at the hobgoblin.
Has she been talking like that the whole time?
Oh, ever since she fought that pixie. When she wasn't narrating her own little adventure, she was trying to compose a poem about her triumph. I nearly ripped off my own ears.
Wouldn't it make more sense to rip out her tongue?
Come on.
The pink light of the lantern... No, the pixie was already fading with distance. They would have to hurry to keep up. Light had begun to return to the sky when the ogres finally reached their destination. Jig's legs felt like dead wood, and his socks and boots were soaked through. The others seemed to be doing a little better. Jig didn't know who surprised him more, Vika or Grell. Despite her weight, Vika hadn't stopped once, nor had she shown any willingness to rest so the others could catch up. As for Grell, she hobbled along at a steady pace, never quite losing sight of the group. She didn't even appear to be breathing hard.
I work in the nursery. I spend every night chasing idiots.
Jig hurried ahead to see what the ogres were doing, They had come to the edge of the huge cavern.
Are we near Strahm's lair?
As soon as Jig asked, he realized the stone wall ahead of him wasn't the same as the one he had seen a year before. For one thing, the trees grew right up to the edge of the rock. The only exception was a small area of freshly cut stumps. The stone itself was covered in dying brown moss, and it sloped upward at a much gentler angle than he remembered. He also realized something else. The snow and ice were thinner here by the edge of the cavern. The few flakes that blew onto the rock were white, not grey. The ogre's skins started to lose their metallic hue as they gathered around the cliffside. Their coloration still wasn't right, but it was closer to normal than anything Jig had seen since he arrived down here. Whatever was affecting the cavern, they seemed to be reaching the edge of its range. One of the ogres dropped to his hands and knees to crawl into a dark hole in the cliff. Rock and dirt had been piled to either side of the hole, suggesting this was a new addition. Jig had always believed the hardened obsidian walls were indestructible, but he had believed the same thing about the ladder back at the clearing. The ogre's feet reappeared. He backed out, both hands clutching a rope as thick as Jig's wrist. The others crowded around, blocking Jig's view. Another scream came from one side of the cleared area, where an enormous brown bundle flapped and struggled against a rope. Powerful wings knocked into the branches, spilling snow and sticks. Even Vika seemed a bit taken aback by the size and ferocity of the trapped bat. Farther on, Jig realized that what he had first assumed to be a pile of rubble was actually the bodies of several more giant bats.
Ugly things, aren't they?
Jig nodded. The ogres were dragging another trapped bat from the tunnel. The rope was looped around the bat's neck, and the wings were folded and pressed tight against its body. Tiny black eyes bulged from a flat, pale face. The bat's only redeeming feature was their oversized flopping ears, which reminded Jig a little of goblin ears. Given how roughly the ogres grabbed and pulled, Jig wasn't at all surprised by the number of bat corpses in the pile. What he couldn't figure out was why they were collecting giant bats in the first place. With a flash of pink, the pixie launched herself into the air. She waited until the struggling bat was clear, then darted into the tunnel. The ogres looped more rope around the bat, securing its wings to its body. Several ogres began to do the same to the other bat. Soon the ogres had both bats tightly bound. A pair of ogres hoisted each bat onto their shoulders and set off into the woods. Several more ogres were now crawling out of the tunnel. Brushing dirt and rocks from their bodies, they hurried to join their companions. By the time the pixie returned, the ogres were already heading back the way they had come. Jig crouched behind a tree, holding his breath and praying Braff or Vika wouldn't do something stupid like challenging the ogres to single combat. The pixie looped through the air toward one of the ogres. She landed on what appeared to be a small hammock tied to a wooden handle. The ogre held the handle perfectly flat as the pixie settled into place. Her shimmering wings twitched slightly, folded to either side of the hammock. All of this was accomplished without the pixie or anyone else ever speaking a word. Jig was still staring, trying to understand it all, when Vika strode past, stepping around a tree trunk.
Come on! This is our chance!
Our chance to do what? The only thing we know about that tunnel is that wherever it goes, there are giant bats on the other side.
The path will present itself to the true hero, but the hero must have the strength and courage to follow where the path leads.
What about the book's last owner? His path led him straight into Strahm's stomach.
Then clearly he was no hero, was he?
Vika reached into her cloak for her book.
Oh, not that again!
Ignoring Slash, Vika flipped through the pages and read aloud.
Sahil stared at the mountain of skulls leading to the Temple of the Black Goddess, and his friends urged him to turn back. Do you not see the bones of those who have tried to reach the goddess? Pleaded his faithful companion Tyr. Without those bones, there would be no path to climb, replied Sahil.
Jig glanced at the others. Slash was using his finger to test the tip of his spear. Grell looked ready to fall asleep. Braff, on the other hand, was wide-eyed as he listened.
I don't understand. There aren't any bones here. And wouldn't all those skulls roll away when you tried to walk on them?
It means you can't let the failure of others block you from the path.
Vika walked to the hole in the cliff and peered inside. Everyone else looked at Jig, who shrugged. It wasn't as though he had a better suggestion. Vika had already stepped into the tunnel. Where the ogres had crawled on hands and knees, Vika merely had to duck her head a little. Jig started to follow when a surge of heat seared his neck.
Vika, wait!
Jig leaped back, poking Smudge with his fingers to drive the fire spider away from his neck. Smudge's heat dissipated almost as quickly as it had begun. Jig searched for a source of light, a lantern, a bit of dry wood, anything that might burn. All the lanterns had either run out of muck or been broken during the fighting.
If you're afraid, you can wait here while I explore the tunnels.
It would serve her right to let her go and get eaten or stabbed or killed by whatever Smudge had sensed. Jig ran to the dead bats and ripped tufts of fur from their brown bodies. He rolled the fur between his palms, spinning it into a crude bit of rope. He held one end up to Smudge as he returned to the tunnel. An orange flame appeared on the end of the rope. Jig moved quickly to catch up with Vika. Already the rest of the fur was beginning to burn. He saw Vika's shadow just ahead and tossed the fur to the ground beside her.
What are you doing?
What? That?
Pairs of tiny yellow eyes hovered in the darkness. There were too many to count. Vika untied her robe and searched through her pockets, finally producing a small cloth packet. She unfolded the cloth and dropped a long, thick tube of brown fungus onto the fire. Jig recognized it as a fire-starting stick. The fungus would burn slowly and steadily, and was far safer than flint and steel for lighting fires in the distillery. The flames brightened, taking on a greenish tinge.
That is another trial I must face.
No, that is a multi-headed snake thing.
Jig grabbed Vika's arm and pulled her back. Jig counted at least 14 heads on the tangle of snakes, all of which were watching him and Vika. This must have been what the pink pixie was doing when she flew into the tunnel. Even the ogres would have had trouble getting past it. The creature completely blocked the way. Looking at any one segment of the snake, it would appear to be a normal rock serpent. Reddish-brown scales perfectly matched the obsidian tunnels. A whip-like black tongue flicked the air, sensing prey. The pixie had apparently taken a group of rock serpents and joined them into a single creature. Their bodies merged into an irregular ball of scaly flesh at the center of the tangle. There were no tails. Every sinuous length of snake had sharp, venomous fangs at the end. Jig could see why Smudge had been afraid. Vika pushed Jig back.
Out of my way!
Jig hopped out of the tunnel, Vika's staff wrapping the ground at his heels. She strode to Slash.
I need your spear.
The pixies left a snake creature to guard the tunnel. Vika, if you try to fight that thing with a spear, you're going to get killed.
Here you go.
Slash handed over his weapon. Vika set her staff against a tree and marched back into the tunnel. Jig hurried after her. Vika handed her fire-starting stick to Jig. Her hands gripped the shaft of the spear near the bottom. Jig stopped, momentarily puzzled.
What are you doing?
Chapter 4, The Trials. All heroes must overcome a series of harder and increasingly dangerous obstacles.
Why do the obstacles always get harder? Why wouldn't the hero face the most dangerous one first? The rest should be easy after that.
Vika ignored him. Raising the spear, she thrust the point at the center of the snakes. Every head, except those few supporting the creature's weight, lashed out at Vika. Four sets of fangs sank into the wood of the spear, wrenching it from her hands. Smudge curled into a ball on his shoulder pad, and Jig smelled burning leather. Splinters flew as the snakes ripped the spear apart. They were clearly ravenous, some of them so desperate they were actually trying to swallow the broken bits of wood before spitting them to the ground. Jig gathered up some of the splinters and used the fire-starting stick to light a small fire on the side of the tunnel, then studied the snakes more closely. If he wasn't mistaken, the pixie had made a mistake when she created this monstrosity.
Bah! Stupid hobgoblins can't make a decent spear to save their lives.
Jig grabbed Vika's sleeve and tugged her back outside.
So? Did you kill it?
I need your help. Help me butcher one of those dead bats.
I'm a hobgoblin warrior. I don't do that kind of work. And where's my spear?
I'll help. I was getting hungry again anyway.
Jig didn't bother to explain. He and Braff worked together, cutting chunks of meat from the body. Vika watched, her arms crossed.
What do you plan to do? Beat them to death with raw meat? That's the best plan the great Jig Dragonslayer can devise.
Come on!
Jig scooped up some of the meat into his arms. Even before he dropped the meat, Jig could see the snakes quivering eagerly. The pixie's magic seemed to bind them in place, but the heads stretched and strained toward the smell of food. Jig was happy to oblige. He tossed every bit of bat meat at the snakes, trying not to watch as the heads fought one another in their eagerness to gorge. Then Jig retreated back out of the tunnel to wait.
What did you do? They're not dead. I can hear them from here.
Give it time. It'll die soon enough.
Poison?
No. Most poisonous creatures have some immunity to toxins.
Jig peered into the tunnel. The flames were dying again, but he could just make out the shape of the creature. Already, several of the heads drooped to the ground. This was working even better than he had expected.
What did you do?
It's what the pixie did. She bound those snakes together, but she didn't think it through. Look, that thing just ate most of a giant bat, right?
Yeah.
What happens next?
Dessert?
What happens to the food?
Oh, if you're me, it builds up in your gut until you need some of Galaka's special mushroom juice to get things moving, and it...
Grell broke off, hobbling past Jig to stare at the creature, following the lines of the snake's smooth, unbroken bodies back to the juncture.
They can't...
The back part of those snakes got lost when the pixie put them all together.
Poor thing. That's a horrid way to die.
Jig had been all too happy to let Vika be the first to climb over the dead snake creature. Only when she was safely past did he stop worrying about the creature. That simply meant he could resume worrying about other things, not the least of which was that, even if they evaded the pixies, the odds were good that he would never make it back to face Kralk. It was scant comfort.
It's not the pixies you should be worried about.
Huh? Oh, what is it? Nothing. Where have you been? I could have used some help down here. I had to fight an ogre and a snake thing. And what do you mean it's not the pixies I should be worried about? Do you remember the necromancer? He was just one pixie. Now I have, a lot more than one.
That pixie was not the original necromancer, don't you remember?
I try not to.
He wasn't from our world. Whether he came willingly or was exiled, he left his world behind to enter ours. The pixies below haven't done that.
But I saw them. I saw the snake creature that pixie created. And what about the ogres? They...
Shut up and listen, Jig. The pixies haven't left their world behind because they're bringing it with them. That's why it couldn't reach you. Even gods have limits, and my power doesn't extend into other worlds.
The snow, the strange colors, that's...
It's an imbalanced juxtaposition of realities. It's a bubble.
So what's going to happen?
Well, I'm not sure. It may be a temporary thing, a transitional zone to help the pixies to acclimate to this world. Or it could become a permanent pocket of their world within yours. I suppose it could also pop, to further the metaphor. In that case, I imagine the magic of the pixie world would simply disperse.
What do you expect me to do about it?
I don't know. I was the god of the autumn star, remember? A god of evening, of peace and rest. Protector of the weary and the elderly. I didn't spend a lot of time repelling pixie invasions.
Jig stopped so suddenly that Grell bumped into him. Up ahead, Vika turned back.
What's the matter?
Let me make sure I understand this. You, a god, can't set one metaphysical foot down there, and you have no idea how to fight them. Yet you expect me, a goblin, to take care of it? To beat an army of ogres, pixies, snake monsters, and whatever else they fling at us? Oh, and also to push their little world bubble back into their world?
Whatever.
Is there anything else you want to tell me before I go back to get myself killed?
Vika and her hobgoblin friend, they are cocooned in the magic of the pixie world. I'm guessing they've been enchanted. The pixies are probably watching every move you make.
Great. Thanks.
Jig glanced ahead to where Vika was impatiently tapping her staff on the ground. Slash was right behind her. Vika drew out her spellbook. The spellbook was worse for wear, little more than a handful of ragged pages. She picked one and, after shooting an annoyed glare at Jig, began reading.
Is there any way we can break the enchantment?
Not that I know of. They may not even realize they're being controlled. Sorry.
I don't suppose there are any other gods I could talk to.
Timulus Shadowstar didn't bother to answer. The tunnels had widened a bit, back at the junction where the ogre's tunnel breached a larger one. They had left the ogre's tunnel behind, crossing once again into familiar obsidian, and the orange light reflected from the rock for a fair distance in both directions. Vika walked with her fire-starting stick in one hand and the pages of her spellbook clenched in the other. Her staff was clamped beneath her arm as she read through the tattered pages. For the first time, as she read through the mystical incantations and charms, things began to make sense. Her body tingled with magical energy just waiting to be released. A bit of ash dropped onto the instructions for distilling pure bile from rat corpses. She wasn't sure what she was supposed to do with the rat bile once she had it, but with so many pages damaged or burned, she was picking up a lot of random tidbits. She grabbed another page. Most of the spell was illegible, but as far as she could tell, it was supposed to turn the caster invisible. Vika crumpled that page back into her pocket and picked another. Before she could start reading, another chunk of ash fell onto her wrist. She jumped, blowing frantically to dislodge the burning ash. Her staff fell to the floor, stirring dust into the air. Jig whirled, his sword halfway out of its sheath. He and Slash had squeezed past her to lead the group, which would have irritated her if she hadn't been so absorbed in her spells. She ignored him as she squatted to retrieve her staff. Chunks of rock and dirt covered the tunnel, a far dingier place than the smooth, polished stone of home. Ogres dug ugly tunnels. In several spots, rough wooden planks were wedged against the walls and ceiling to provide extra support.
Be more careful. I don't know when those ogres are going to come back, and we don't know what else might be hiding down there.
Don't worry. If the ogres show up, I'm sure she'll use her mighty magic to stop them.
Vika brought the dying flame of her fire-starting stick closer to the pages and kept reading, hiding in her book. The stick had burned down until it was as short as her thumb. Soon she wouldn't have enough light to read. She sorted through the pages until she found the illumination spell. Old water damage smeared part of the middle, but most of the spell was still legible. But now her eyes devoured the page.
Nothing more than a basic transference and enhancement enchantment, really. Probably talks about providing an initial source of light, like the spark to start a fire. Pretty basic spell. Not so much generating magical light as stealing it from somewhere else.
Vika's fist tightened around the fire-starting stick. First, she needed to use the binding spell to tap into the surrounding magical energy.
That should be simple. There's enough magic trapped in this place to light up half the world.
Hush!
Vika ignored Grell. She spread her fingers, drawing a web of magic in the palm of her hand. The silver lines connecting her fingertips were far stronger than anything she had managed before.
That's only the first part of the binding. The magic needs to be linked to the light itself in order to manipulate it.
Vika smiled as she studied the binding. The silver lines weren't true light. Bringing her hand closer to the page didn't illuminate the words, nor did the light cast any shadows. The others didn't seem to notice it at all. Her hand felt warm, healthy. She almost began reciting the second part of the binding, then changed her mind.
Why bother? The words are useless, a crutch for the weak-minded.
Vika's hands flexed of their own volition, and the silver web bowed outward. A tendril of light crept through the air until it touched the flame of the fire-starting stick.
Interesting. Magic is more sluggish here. Probably an ambient effect of the sterile nature of this world.
Vika stared at her hand, trying to understand the words coming from her own mouth. More sluggish than what? She tried to convince herself that she was simply remembering passages from her reading. Joska did say the hero would tap into previously unknown reserves of strength and power as she traveled along the path. This crisis had simply helped her discover those reserves. She should have snuck away years ago instead of waiting around for Jig Dragonslayer to teach her his worthless flavor of magic.
What's so funny?
Without thinking, Vika pushed the flame with her mind. Orange light leapt from the end of the stick, splashing as it collided with Slash's nose. The fire-starting stick went dark. Slash's nose lit up like a muck lantern with an over-soaked wick. He leaped back, smacking his head against the wall. He fell as he tried to scramble away from his own nose. Dirt and dust swirled around his body. Vika tossed her fire-starting stick aside.
What did you do to me?
Quiet. We wouldn't want the ogres to hear you.
What happened?
The lad was dying. I made a new one.
Take it off, Goblin, before I...
Calm down, Hobgoblin. Right now, I've only channeled the light to you. Would you like the flames as well?
Slasher's eyes crossed as he stared at his nose. The orange light turned his face pale, almost white.
Could you at least dim it down a little? You're giving me a headache.
It looks like a pixie flew up his nose.
The light is pretty powerful.
Say no more.
Vika turned to Slash, reaching out a hand, and tried to pull some of that light back into herself. Nothing happened. She frowned and tried again. The spellbook said the caster would have total mastery of any effects they produced.
I've changed my mind. Leave the hobgoblin to his discomfort. He can tie a rag over his face if he wants. At least that would spare us the ugliness of his features.
Here.
Grell handed Slash an old stained cloth. His hands shook with anger as he tied the cloth around his nose. The light shone right through the cloth, but it was significantly softer.
What is this?
Old diaper. Don't worry, I rinsed it out before I packed it.
Vika?
Shall we proceed, Jig Dragon Slayer?
Might as well. I've got no interest standing here staring at the hobgoblin and his amazing glowing nostrils.
Grell turned away and started walking. With a shrug, Braff fell in beside her. Vika gave Slash one last smile before she followed. Vika found herself walking beside Slash to the annoyance of them both. Without her fire-starting stick, the only way for her to read was by the light of his nose. Several of the glowing bugs she had seen in Jig's temple circled Slash's head, evading his angry swats.
I'm gonna kill you and feed your body to the tunnel cats, you know. What are you planning to do when the ogres and the pixies find us? Making pixies glow isn't gonna do much good.
There are other spells.
Though they would be far simpler to master if Vika's spellbook weren't in such wretched condition. A draft of warm air brushed her face. She glanced up, and for the first time since leaving the woods, really noticed their surroundings. The dust ahead was heavily scuffed. She spotted large footprints ahead of Jig and the others. Ogre footprints. Ahead, Jig stopped moving. He looked frightened.
What is it?
I know where we are. Where we're going, at least. I hoped I was wrong. The necromancer transformed his tunnels into a labyrinth full of traps and spells, and every tunnel led to the same place, a bottomless pit where he could dispose of those who weren't worthy of joining his dead servants.
I know the poem. Deep in the mountain to the blackness below, that's where the necromancer's victims go. Your screams start to fade as you plummet and fall, so bring a good snack and don't bounce off the wall of the necromancer's bottomless pit. You can fall for a lifetime if you come prepared. Bring food and clock beer. There's no need to be scared of the necromancer's bottomless pit.
We hobgoblins have a poem something like that. The chorus is a little different, though. How many squirming goblins will fit in the necromancer's bottomless pit? Keep tossing them in as they beg and shout. Keep tossing them in if you want to find out just how many terrified goblins will fit in the necromancer's bottomless pit.
Will you please both shut up? Those giant bats, there was a whole nest of them living in the pit. That must be where the ogres are going to collect them. You can already feel the wind. This tunnel leads to the pit. We'll be trapped if we go there.
So, let's go back. We passed at least one other tunnel back where the ogres had broken through. All we have to do is...
The ogres have been following us for a while now. Can't you hear them?
They don't know we're here, though, right?
I wouldn't bet on that.
So, what do we do?
We go forward, follow the path.
And hope it branches off again between here and the pit. The ogres are the least of my worries.
Vika once again scoured the pages of her spellbook. The wind picked up, ripping the page Vika had been studying from her hands. She barely managed to clamp down fast enough to keep the rest from following. She watched as the instructions for transforming urine to beer fluttered down the tunnel. The wind was making it impossible for her to study. She grabbed Slash by the arm.
Come on, I need the light.
Vika led Slash back down the tunnel, chasing the flapping paper. After several failed attempts, Slash shoved her aside and stopped on the page. He picked it up, ripping the edge, and shoved it into her hands.
Thank you.
Next time you go running off like that when we're trying to avoid an ugly ogre-inflicted death, I plan to put a knife in your belly. I thought you'd like to know.
The wind grew stronger. Grudgingly, Vika conceded the older goblin might be right. If she kept trying to read, it would probably cost her any number of spells. Her muscles tightened as she shoved the pages into the pocket of her cloak. It was as if her body were physically rebelling against the idea of giving up her studies, even for a short time.